In the name of the Father, and Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I feel happy that you chose this topic. I have decided to follow you. Now, nobody can say, I have decided to follow you, except the Christian person. Because in all religions, they believe God is isolated in heaven. He looks like an idea. There is a great gap between God and man. And they try to do their best so that God may become or kind for them, or to anguish his anger. In Christianity, in fact, we discover God is not isolated. God is not far away from us. God came specially for every one of us. He wanted everyone not just to follow him, but even to abide in him, and the believer to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. How can I follow my Lord Jesus? Or how can I truly share my Lord Jesus, his characteristics? Today they asked me to speak about, I am eager to know you. In Philippians, the epistle of St. Paul to the Philippians, chapter 3, verse 10. St. Paul says, Philippians 3, verse 7, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Glory be to God. Amen. In other religions, every person wants to know God, but they try to know him by their own logic, by their own imagination, by their human power, and the God for them is just an idea. They want to love God. It is a gift, a natural gift for all mankind, even those who deny the existence of God, the atheist. But in Christianity, God became man, or the Son of God, the Logos became a man. He lived among us as one of us. It is his pleasure to accept us and to abide in us, so that we may acknowledge him and his Father and the Holy Spirit. In fact, when we read the epistles of St. Paul, I believe, I don't count, but I believe the word know or knowledge is more than any other word in his epistles. St. Paul was very eager to know God. Why? St. Paul lived before he was converted to Christianity as one of the Pharisees. He was proud. He was the disciple of the greatest teacher at that time, Gamaliel. He believed that he was very righteous. Nobody can challenge him. He is the righteous person after his teacher. Perhaps in his mind, he felt he was more righteous than the high priest, the priests, the Levites, all the leaders in the temple. He devoted all his efforts, all his energies, all his talents to serve God. And he imagined that there is no other way to serve God except by abolishing the name of Jesus Christ and destroying his church and persecuting all the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was convinced that he was on the right way, and God in his mind was pleased by him, and all the heavenly hosts praise him that he is the first man who can serve God by persecuting the church, by attacking the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so on. Suddenly, on his way to Damascus, he discovered that he was on the wrong track, and all his efforts was on the opposite side. He discovered all his knowledge, in fact, was in vain, and the real God is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords. He is the Logos of God, and discovered the work of the Holy Spirit, and from this time he was very eager in every moment of his life to know more and more about God himself, not by his own effort, but through the revelation of or the divine revelation in his life. If it is the situation of St. Paul, in fact, it is the situation of every person in this world. For us, we are in need to know God. Nobody can say, "I know God," because when we are in contact with him, every time we enjoy the fellowship with God, we say, "Oh, it is as it is the first time I know you, I see you, I am in fellowship with you, I enjoy the new life in you." Therefore, the knowledge of God is not, we do not receive it once and it is finished. It is not just or a gift which we receive and then we stop. It is in fact a dynamic life. In every moment I ask God, "May I know you?" And when I know him now, I said, "Oh, all my life, as if I didn't know him before. Tomorrow I will say, oh, this day is the happiest day in my life, because as if it is the first day I know you." And so on until the last moment of our lives, we believe we are in need to know him more and more. We must not surprise that St. John the Baptist, surely he knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only he knew him while he was in the womb of his mother, and he rejoiced, and his mother was in touch with his joy, and she started by the work of the Holy Spirit to sing a praise to God. And John the Baptist, in the womb of his mother, worshipped the Lord Jesus Christ, who was incarnated in the womb of his Saint Mary. Although he knew him, and he also taught the people concerning his coming, and he called, "This is the Lamb of God," and he mentioned to the Lord Jesus Christ, to all the people who were crowded and surrounded him. But after the baptism, he said, I didn't know him before. How is it? He didn't lie. It is the truth. When he saw the Lord Jesus Christ in the river, Jordan River, and he acknowledged that he is in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, a member of this body, and what the Lord received, he received. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, all the church were baptized. And when the Father spoke with the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a speech for every real believer. Then he said, oh, all my knowledge before this moment as if it was nil. As if now it is the first time I know God. Then we are in need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ by having a dynamic knowledge. Every day I want to know you. Now I want to just have some verses from St. Paul to know what he knew from concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. What is the knowledge of the believer? What was the knowledge of St. Paul concerning the Lord? He looked to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, oh, I know you within me. When I discovered your resurrection, I have, as he said here, the power of his resurrection. I was dead, but now I am risen in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was earth, but now I became a heaven in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was a very weak human being, but now through the resurrection I became like an angel of God. He said, and the fellowship of his suffering. He was proud that he discovered the mystery of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before I discovered your crucifixion, I wanted to persecute your believers. I was against Christians. I wanted to destroy the church. I couldn't enjoy the suffering with you, sharing you your crucifixion. I acknowledge now how sweet our suffering in the Lord Jesus Christ. He started to bless those who were persecuted, even through him, and said, oh, how they were blessed and enjoyed the fellowship with the, or the sharing the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Outside the Lord Jesus Christ, we say, oh, the world is the valley of tears. Every day I have many problems. Nobody in the whole world is freed from temptations or sufferings. In the Lord Jesus Christ, I see all these sufferings are gifts. It is a dignity. It is an honor to me to share my Lord his sufferings. Whatever are these sufferings, if it is through sickness or illness of my body, if it is through problems at my home, if it is through problems even in the church, if it is a problem even from the world, even if it is attacks from Satan or demons against me. It is my pleasure to be crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the result of the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering? He said, and at the end, being conformed to his death. I became an icon of him. What about him? He died. Are you Saint Paul died? Yes. But I am not died as Adam died. I am died and buried with my Lord Jesus Christ, because through death and burial I enjoy the heavenly life. The world for me became nil. Or as he said here, I count them, all things as rubbish. This looks like a garbage. I don't care about all these things. I love the world as a gift from God. I enjoy my life because I am in fellowship with my Lord. Everything in my eyes are very good. But at the same time, when I make a comparison between what I have received now and what I received within my heart, I say all this world with all these things, with all honorable things, with all its richness, are just rubbish. Because there is no comparison between what I receive here in this world and what I receive in my heart as a pledge of the world to come. Then Saint Paul discovered that he acknowledged the risen Christ. How many times? In every single day. In every single day. When we pray the canonical hour, the prime prayer, we say in Arabic, لِنَبْدَأْ بَدَأً حَسَنًا. May we start a new beginning or start. Every morning when I am awake from my sleeping, I said, as if I was in a grave, I am risen. I enjoy the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in this world, in fact, guides me to the joyful life. Therefore, he discovered the power of the resurrection daily. In his epistle to the Romans, chapter 6, he discovered the Lord Jesus Christ, not only the risen one, but he grants his believers freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from slavery, freedom from the adoption to Satan. I became free. He said, knowing, what do we know? Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, not only crucified. If it is crucified, it is a very bad thing. But when my old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. I am not a slave now. Thoughts have no dominion on my will. Outside my Lord Jesus Christ, I say, who can purify my thoughts? Who can preserve my eyes? Who can make control on my senses? Nobody. Even my will. In Christ, now I am free. Saint Paul said, we should no longer be slaves of sin. Truly, we are attacking. We are in a battle. We are fighting with sin, with demons, with Satan. But at the same time, we are victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. As he said, who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Before believing in Christ, I was dead. In him, I live, but not live alone. I live in him, I live with him, I live for him. He is my goal, he is everything for me, I enjoy him as that eternal life. Knowing that Christ having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. I am not a slave, even to death. Once the Emperor Theodosius said to Saint Basil, he tried to threaten him. He said, "What can you do to me? If you put me in the jail is a luxury if it is compared with my cell. If you make me suffer, it is my pleasure that I suffer on behalf of my Lord Jesus Christ. If you will kill me, it is the last aim and goal in my life. I want to be hairy and to see my Lord Jesus Christ. What can you do to me? Nothing. Jail, sufferings, death. What you do cannot have any power or dominion over me." The same thing said Saint John Chrysostom, said to the Empress of Constantinople. They were free. They can say with Saint Paul, death no longer has dominion over him or over us. When we are in Christ, we never be upset of anything in this world, even death itself. We are ready. At any time he will come, we will say, "Welcome. We are ready. We want to enjoy what you have prepared for us in your kingdom in heaven itself." Then we discover in every day Christ is the source of the risen life. Christ, in fact, grants us freedom, and no longer we are slaves of sin, and no longer has dominion, this has dominion over us. Also, in the same epistle to the Romans, he said, "We know what we know." When we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we discover that he is the Almighty. Then every trivial thing in this world is working for our edification. Everything, my health, my education, my family, where I am living, all the events, if the daily events, I believe everything in my life is controlled by my beloved Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, all things are in fact for my edification. Saint Paul says, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." Then we live here in this world joyfully. Nothing can prevent us from rejoicing, because every single thing in this world is for my goodness, for my advantage, for my edification. I am not afraid of anything in this world, whatever this, even if it is a hopeless case of sickness, because my life is in the hand of the Almighty One, my Lord Jesus Christ. When we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we discover every day the richness of the gospel, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of men. Saint Paul said also, "I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." Saint Paul felt that wherever he is going, he has a treasure, richness. Wherever he went, he distributed what you will distribute, the blessings of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember once I asked one of the elders, who started to confess at Abuna Mikhail Ibrahim. I asked him, why you feel rest and comfort when you confess with Abuna Mikhail Ibrahim? He said, oh, I just looked to his face. When he put his hand on my head, I feel as if I am in heaven itself. The same words which Mr. Leader said when he and his wife bowed before Amba Ibrahim, Bishop of Fayyum, and they said that they discovered as if they were in heaven. Do you have the same feeling? When you speak with a person, even by phone, by email, through internet, when you meet any person, do you feel you are the agency of heaven? Do you feel you are ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you imagine if Saint Archangel Michael appeared, we will be afraid or will we be in joy? Surely we will rejoice, because all the atmosphere of heaven are joy. There is no grief in heaven. We can't imagine one of the angels is in anger or he is angry from another angel, or one is upset and the other is rejoiced. All the atmosphere, in fact, of heaven is rejoicing. If you are called to be as if a heavenly one, because you are united with the Creator of heaven, then when you meet any person, be in contact with any person, this person surely will discover the joy of Christ, which in fact within your heart and your mind. It is our job, not only for the priest, teacher of Sunday schools, or any of the clergymen, it is the responsibility of every believer that he or she in fact become the source of blessing, the source of joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we discover or when we acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, we discover our own selves. At the same time, when we discover ourselves, we acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. Saint Clement of Alexandria said, and this is in fact the essential statement in all the writings of Saint Clement, what he said. He said, know yourself, then you will know the Son of God who is dwelling in your heart. When you will know the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be his icon. I have to acknowledge myself, what is inside me. I discover my Lord within me. I know him practically. Then I will be an image or an icon of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the same time, when I acknowledge my Lord Jesus Christ, I acknowledge my dignity and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know who are you? Remember what St. Paul said in the first epistle to Corinthians. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? You are the judge of the world. And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How great we are. How great we are. We will be judges the world, but also we will judge the angels. He means by the angels here, demons who were angels. On the last day, they will discover how the human being took their place. They became very great among the heavenly hosts while they have their place in the hell. Therefore we judge, or we will judge demons, and we will judge men or the world who refuse to accept faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have this feeling? You do not belittle yourself. Do not despise the gift of God to you. God, in fact, wants you to be a judge, not to condemn people here, but to be a witness to Him before demons and before the men. When we know the Lord Jesus Christ and we follow Him every day, I said we discover Him and we acknowledge that we have the risen life in the Lord Jesus Christ. We enjoy freedom. There is no dominion to death or sin or demons on us or on me. And we discover that everything is working for my edification. And I discover that I will be a judge and witness to Jesus Christ even on the last day. Also, St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, he spoke about another knowledge. Do you not know what we know? That your bodies are members of Christ? Do you know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Sometimes we say, oh, I am an emotional person. I have many bad desires and lusts. I despise my body. Sometimes I complain of this body. Why? And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord accepted and received a body. He became a man. It is a dignity for me that I have this body. I became a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I look to my body. It is a gift from God. When I feel I am emotional, I said, oh, how great are these gifts that God granted me these emotions. Because through these emotions, I love the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. I love my neighbors. I love the sinners. I love the world and pray for them and work hard on behalf of every person. Then emotions, in fact, are gifts. My body is a gift. When I look to my body, it is not just the body which is in need to eat, to drink, to sleep, and to have some temporary pleasure. This body, in fact, will be transformed. The same body will be transformed into the icon of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ when He was risen. Then, as I received the icon of the first Adam, who is earthly, I will receive also the image of second Adam, my Lord Jesus Christ, the heavenly one. How great will be our bodies. In the world to come, we look to the bodies, but what we will see in these bodies, we will not be in need of clothes, because there is no shame in our bodies. We will be very bright, because the reflection of the brightness of the Lord Jesus Christ will in fact shine from our bodies. And we will see, oh, how great is those believers. How glorious is the church of God in heaven. Then when we know the Lord now, we'll know even the gift of the body. I look to my body and I bless the Lord and praise Him that He granted me this body. Through this body, I worship Him. Through this body, I practice fasting. Through this body, I can do good things. Through this body, I struggle against sin, so that I may be glorified in the last day. In his epistle also to Corinthians, he said, do you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we couldn't imagine who we are. I am not just a person who was born suddenly or by chance when my father and my mother were married. No. My name is engraved in the hand of God. He knows me. He knew me before I was created. I am, in fact, very special in the mind of God. He is concerned and interested in me. Truly, I have my weakness. I sometimes fail in many sins, but I am supported through this knowledge by the work of the Holy Spirit, who accepted even my body to be the temple of God, the holy temple of God. In the Old Testament, only one person, the high priest, used to enter once a year in the Holy of Holies, in the temple of God in Jerusalem. Now, not the high priest, but the Lord Jesus Christ, the heavenly high priest, it is his pleasure to be in my heart and to sanctify my heart with his Holy Spirit. I have to look to my body as a holy thing. If in the ancient times nobody from the Gentiles can enter inside the temple, and nobody even from the priest to enter the Holy of Holies, now I became the new temple of God. And it is the pleasure of the heavenly host to see my heart and my body as a holy temple of God. Perhaps you say, oh, but I have many sins. How do you say that? I am not holy. I am not a saint. What is the meaning of holiness? What is the meaning of being righteous? Sometimes we imagine that to be holy means that you do not commit any sin at all. If it is the truth, then nobody will be holy and nobody will enter the heaven. The apostles themselves complained, like St. James, St. Paul, all the prophets, all the apostles, all the disciples were fighting against sin, but they were supported by the Holy Spirit, and they believed in every battle, even if sometimes they fall down, but in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are victorious. If a person, when he went to a battle to defend his country, and he was wounded, when he will return, it is not shameful to say, I am wounded in the battle. It is a dignity and honor for him to say, I am wounded on behalf of my country. When we are struggling against sin, even if we are wounded, don't despair. Don't be depressed. Don't be upset. On the contrary, say to God, oh, I am very sick, but I believe in you, I am very strong. I believe that you are forgiver of sins. I believe that you are preparing special place in the bosom of the Father. I am longing for seeing what you have prepared for me on the last day. Here in this world, we know God. We know the Lord Jesus Christ. We acknowledge the Holy Trinity. And truly, through struggling, sometimes feel we are very weak. But we have to be supported. With what? With hope. What is the hope? St. Paul says, now we see in a mirror. We see in a mirror. Dimly. And then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. I am also known. Then, here we are in a mirror, but it is a delightful light. Here sometimes we see God, but not face to face, but through faith. But we will see Him face to face. And we will be with Him, and we will have knowledge, not in part, but complete knowledge. St. Paul discovered, when he knew the Lord Jesus Christ, what you discovered? I discovered that I am elected by God. He said, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. When St. Paul was elected, before I was born, he said that God separated him, devoted his life, while he was in the womb of his mother. Perhaps you ask, if God chose St. Paul while he was in the womb of his mother, why he left him all these 30 or more than 30 years while he was in the Jewish tradition and in Jewish knowledge, and he was attacking the church, and he felt in blasphemy and persecution and so on. Imagine St. Paul was elected among the 12 disciples or among the 70 apostles. Do you think St. Paul was in the same strength as he was elected after he persecuted the church? Never. Many times, even before the rulers, or when he was in Rome before the leaders of the Jews and in the temples, many times he spoke and said, I persecuted the Lord Jesus Christ. I was against the church. I did many things wrong. Then I was not deceived when I became Christian. When I was converted to Christianity, it is not by deceit. Nobody can deceive me because I was a great leader. Nobody did what I did against the church. And when I was converted, it is not by human power, not by human logic, not by arguments with men. It is by a divine revelation. He repeated 3 times in the book of Acts, repeated the revelation to St. Paul or Saul 3 times. I believe he repeated it hundreds and perhaps thousands times in his preaching. It was the core of all his preaching. I was persecutor. God converted me to a disciple. I was against Christ. Now I am. It is my pleasure to be persecuted on his behalf. I hated the believers. Now I want to serve all the world to enjoy faith in Christ. What God did through Saul after his conversion cannot be done if he was chosen as a disciple or apostle while Jesus Christ was in this world. Then everything was for his edification. Everything for the edification of the church. Everything for his glory. I remember in Alexandria, there was a student, and he lived in Alexandria for for years. And he was struggling and fighting every day against bad thoughts. He was every day weeping. I didn't see a person who was fighting bad thoughts like this person. Many times I was praying, why this person is fighting, why he is attacked by these bad thoughts, although he was weeping every night. And seriously, he asked God purity and chastity. And for 4 years, he didn't enjoy purity and chastity. After more than 10 years, on my visit to Upper Egypt, I met him in a city of one of the cities of Upper Egypt. I asked him, what about your spiritual life? He said, oh, the 4 years in Alexandria, in fact, is very joyful to me. It is the source of my strength. I said, how is it? He said, do you know, Abuna? When I came here in Upper Egypt, I started to speak with the young people about chastity. In Upper Egypt, the young people is very shameful. It was very hard to speak even with their father in confession, especially in these matters, the bad thoughts. He used to tell them, I was fighting for 4 years. I was weeping every night. And I didn't receive and enjoy the chastity and purity except after I finished my study and came here to Upper Egypt. He attracted many, many persons, not only from his city, but also the cities and villages around the city in which he lived. He said many persons truly repented and returned to Christ through my faults. I said to them, oh, what you are attacking is very light compared with my battle and fight while I was a student. And thus God used even what was wrong in his life for his glory and for the purity and chastity of many young people. Then we are in need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we know him? By our minds, truly, through logic, we can accept, we study theology, we can study the Old and the New Testament, and we can read the prophecies in the Old Testament, how Isaiah spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and God and Savior and so on. But we have to differentiate between our knowledge through logic only and our knowledge through logic and the revelation or the grace of God. We are in need to be in touch with the grace of God. Then we acknowledge God himself within us. We will see him. We will enjoy him. We will follow him. We will see the narrow way of the crucifixion is more sweet than all the ways of this world. We will discover how the Lord Jesus Christ can satisfy all our minds and hearts, emotions, senses. We will be satisfied and we will not be in lack of anything. I hope that every one of us truly today ask God, may my Lord Jesus Christ grant me and all the world to enjoy the true knowledge and to have the experience of this knowledge daily, so that we may see you face to face. Come quickly. We are waiting for your coming, O Lord Jesus Christ. May our Lord Jesus Christ grant all of us to have this experience. Glory be to God. Amen. Some questions. I feel that I am struggling in my prayers, particularly when trying to pray using the Agbaya. Here is always an excuse for not praying. can you please give me some advice and how to progress in my prayers and to truly grow in the feeling of the presence of God during this theme of prayer. In fact, we do not separate our prayers in the Igbia or canonical hour from our, if we can say, our own or personal prayer. When I pray at first, when I finish any psalm, I make matanya. It gives me the chance to kneel before the Lord Jesus Christ and not to be in hurry in praying the psalms. Second thing, when I pray, I try to know the meaning of the psalms. And when my heart is touched with any verse, I can continue, not in the psalm, but continue in my personal prayer. Second thing, when we pray the Agbaya, I said, oh, I will pray this psalm for the salvation of all mankind. I will pray this psalm for God grant, may grant wisdom to the clergymen, to the laymen. I will pray this psalm for my relatives. I will pray this psalm for so and so for my life. Then we do not recite the Igbaya as informalities, but we have to put aim and purpose in when we pray every psalm of the Igbaya. How is it possible to have a constantly growing relationship with Christ? I tell you a story. I know it is bad, but it is very important. Once there was a student in School of Medicine in Alexandria. And she was a teacher of Sunday school. Now she is a physician in Canada. I remember this person, somebody tried from bad men, one of the bad person to speak with her and to enter in bad relationship with her. She refused totally. She looked to him. He is not well educated, not Christian. He's behaved very bad. He said, there is no comparison between her life and his life. She refused. He tried for 3 months. When she went to station of sporting, she found him there. When she changed the station, she found him on the other station and used to take the tramway with her and try to speak with her. After 3 months, he was in despair. He left her to see another girl. And she said to me, when he left me, suddenly I looked behind to see him. Although she was convinced he is not suitable for her and he is very bad, but his trying for 3 months has its effect on his her mind or her heart. If it is in this way, what about if we are in contact with God? The problem, we sometimes are not speaking with God openly and frankly. We just want to fulfill some formalities. Oh, we will read the Bible, we will pray some prayers, we will go to the church, so on. All these things are good if it will be fulfilled not in formalities, but in spiritual way, by being or by speaking frankly and openly with God. Sometimes at universities we are confronted by Muslims preachers and that attack our Christian faith, and lecturers that attack our Christian faith to help an important manner. As Christian, what shall we do? And we are in need of some pamphlets not to attack. We do not like attacking any religion, but to explain our faith. And through love, we know many, many persons, even from the fanatic persons, loved Christianity through love. They are in need of love. And they are in need to see the Lord Jesus Christ in our face. If when they attack us, we attack them, then what is the difference? But we love them. But at the same time, we have to be ready to answer their questions. I have some pamphlets concerning how three are one, why God the Logos became incarnate, and so on. I hope I can give any of the priests these six pamphlets in English and in Arabic. And if they want to, yani, to change anything, yani, it is okay. How can we know ourselves? You said we need to know and acknowledge ourselves before we can know God. How can we do this? If you know that your soul, your life is more precious than the whole world, then you have to give some time to your inner man. And we spend too much time in studying, in eating, in reading, in our connection with our friends, with our relatives. How many minutes we give to ourselves so that under the guidance of the Holy Spirit we ask God to illuminate our inner man so that we may discover ourselves. I prefer even when we come to the church, if you come early, take any place and start to be very quiet and ask God, I want to see you in my heart. I want to discover my own self. And surely God will reveal and illuminate your inner man to discover yourself and discover Christ within you. I heard that there was a lot of opposition from the congregation about the idea of an English Mass, and there was a lot of opposition about the idea of a children's Mass here at St. Mark. How can our mentality grow to allow for successful change and progress? To allow successful change and progress, don't be absorbed in the opposition, in attacking. Do what is well, and what is good will grow up. As the Lord said, leave them, and surely God will work. Yani, don't waste your time in arguments. For me, even in, I am as a priest in Alexandria. Sometimes any priest ask me, what do you think about so and so in the policy of the church? I said, I don't know anything about the church. I know the church which is in my heart and the church around me. I am responsible just on my church, but I am not involved in anything outside my responsibility. Many questions I received also concerning the policy of the church as a whole, but I didn't answer them because I have no time to answer them, and I can't answer something which I not involved in. Why I waste my time? My time is more precious than all these things. Please work hard regardless any opposition. Not only in Arabic or English Mass, but in anything. Try to do what is good and joyfully without attacking or condemning others. What do you think about speaking in tongues? Was tongues only used for speaking in foreign languages? I have a pamphlet. I think I have it in my computer in English and in Arabic. Because I know the problem of the tongues. While I was in primary school, I remember in my city, in our city, yani, a group came from Nag Hammadi and Asyut, and said that they can speak tongues. And they started to make a kind of revolution in the area. And they said, we have message from God and so on. They speak with not human language, any words. And the one of the brothers, I know him, he went this meeting and he started to do the same thing for many days. Many of them became under, yani they, especially ladies, they were hurted psychologically and they became in need to be dealt psychologically. This person, after 3 or 4 days, I do not remember, he started at the end to laugh and said, oh, what I did by my own self. All the people was touching them and kissing him and saw him. He said, what you are doing? It is not from God. I did that. And from this moment, they didn't enter our city at all. In Europe, there are many books. I remember once, I have in Egypt many books concerning the tongues. A person went and he attended a meeting for those who said that they speak of tongues. And one of them spoke and another translated and said, oh, it is a Russian language, and he started to say the message. And on the second day, another did the same thing and said, this is another language. And at the end, a person came and said, I know Russian, I know this language, and all what he said is not Russian, nor the other language. And he wrote a book concerning speaking of tongues, because we know even the Protestant, many of them, felt the seriousness of this phenomena. Perhaps you say, why the Bible spoke about speaking of tongues? Saint John Chrysostom and Saint Augustine explained this gift. They said, we do not ignore this gift, but this gift, it is a divine gift at the time of the apostles and disciples. Why? Because the Jews couldn't at all accept any one of the Gentiles to be on the same level with them. They were against St. Paul, and they looked to him as in Acts 20, chapter 21, that he is blasphemy against Moses' law. And they attacked him as he was against law, because he preached among the Gentiles. And they insisted that every Gentile, before being Christian, has to be converted to the Jewish religion. Afterwards, he will be converted to Christianity. God wanted to tell the Jews all over the world that he is God of the whole world. For example, if St. Paul went to a country, imagine he went to Egypt. He spoke in Coptic, and the same language of this city. And then one translate the language from Coptic to Hebrew, because there is a congregation of the Hebrew, because he used to go to the Jewish congregation. The Copts said, oh, we understand what he said. And they were astonished. From where you learned the Coptic language? He said, no, it is a gift from God. The Hebrews said, oh, do you understand? They said, yes, he said so and so. He said, how is it? He didn't know Coptic. By this, the Jews couldn't be against St. Paul, because when he spoke Coptic, he spoke a human language, not just any words, and it has meanings. Therefore, we are, in fact, must be very cautious of saying the speaking of tongues. Sometimes, like when one of the noblemen came from Rome, and he went to Saint Macarius the Great, and he said, I want to confess. He said, I will bring one of the translators, interpreters, he can translate. He said, no, I don't want anyone to know what I did. Saint Macarius entered the sanctuary and asked God, can you grant me to understand his language? And it is said that when the person who came from Rome spoke in his language, the Italic language, Latin language, he understood what he said and he answered with the Latin. After finishing this confession, he lost what he received. Then everything in the church must not be in confusion. Please, the Lord Jesus Christ was very humble and nobody heard his voice. He was very simple, and the Church of Christ must be at the same spirit. You can see what happened in the United States in these areas when some of the charismatic who exaggerate in this phenomena, how it makes many troubles. Even the Protestants refused it. For I hope I will try to publish the pamphlet in English and in Arabic here in Sydney concerning speaking in tongues. Why did it take the Lord 4 years to answer the prayers of the man who pleaded for purity? He was not asking for something selfishly, but wanted to get closer to the Lord. He left him for 4 years because it is for his glorification, for his crowning, and for the edification of many young people. The problem sometimes we want to direct and guide God according to our own will or according to our mind. Please, the wisdom of God is far away from our wisdom. We have to subject ourselves and to accept his wisdom cheerfully. As you have said, that because we know the Lord Christ, we should be always joyful. However, as humans with a sinful nature cannot help but be distressed when faced with difficulties, what should one do to return to the joyful state? What motto or goal should are placed before him to be continuously joyful? When we are always joyful, it is in fact the sign of our new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely, all of us sometimes we are upset. But even when we are in grief for something, a person left his face, some problems happen to a person, and we share him, his or her grief, but we never lost our peace. And if we feel that we lost our peace, we have to pray so that God may grant us his peace. If we are eager to know God, but for reasons such as laziness or our own weakness, we continue to stay away and not come close to him to know him. How can we overcome this lukewarm state? Saint Isaac the Syrian said, if I will not pray until I will be eager to pray, I will never pray. I have to start, and when I will start, surely I will love praying. Then say to yourself, oh, I will start even pray the Lord's Prayer without sleeping. When you finish, said Becky Matani, and said, why I don't thank God? I will pray the Thanksgiving. When you finish Thanksgiving, said, oh, I made many sins. Why I don't pray the psalm of repentance, Psalm 50. And gradually you will feel you don't want to leave prayer. The same in anything. And for me, I have an exercise when I was young to read every night before sleeping 15 minutes at least. Whatever is, even if I am very tired. I said, it is as a duty. I have to read 15 minutes before sleep. Many times when I start, I was very tired. And when I read just 5 or 10 minutes, I feel I am very happy. I don't want to leave reading. And sometimes I spend a lot of time in reading. Just to start. How can we know our... Sometimes at university, تيالي خلاص الأسم. لما الروح بتخرج من الجسم أين تذهب؟ When the soul leaves the body, where it will go? It will go with the thief who was on the right hand with the Lord Jesus Christ to the paradise. And when we will go, we will see. And don't involve in the details. I love my Lord. I am sure I will be with Him wherever I will be. I tell you a story. Once a person asked a child. This child, she was a girl about 6 years old. She was suffering of cancer. And the teacher of Sunday school visited her and said, I heard that you are very joyful. Why? She said, you don't know? He said, no. I am very sick. He said, because you are very sick, you are joyful? She said, yes. I asked my Lord today, please don't heal me because I want to see you. Why I will live for a long time, then I will go to Him. I want to see Him quickly. Then he said to her, if you will go and you didn't find Jesus Christ in heaven, what will you, or in paradise, what will you do? She said, oh, I will leave the paradise. I will be with my Lord. He said, how if he went to the hell? She said, okay, I will go with him. He said, how is it? She said, wherever is Christ, there is heaven, even if he is in hell. Then wherever is Christ, we will be in heaven. Don't be in trouble where you are going. We are going to the bosom of God the Father and enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you think about the role of the Coptic language should be in our church? Is it still important? I believe our salvation is more important than any other thing, whatever this thing. Truly, I am proud that I am a Coptic, but before that, I am proud that I am Christian. I love my Lord Jesus Christ. And we do not ignore what we received, the richness of the Coptic hymns. Therefore, we can give just small little for the Coptic hymns, but when we pray, especially the deacon, when he pray, he has to speak in English so that the people will answer or will be, there is response with the words of the deacon. What is more important, not the language, but what is important, we will be in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it doesn't mean we ignore the culture, the Coptic culture and so on, but not on the account of the salvation of men. Thank you for attending. Sorry you are late. I hope you pray for me. God bless you.